Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we have a bit of a special lineup of guests with us here. We are going to be talking about TVs and specifically Xiaomi TVs because we've been meaning to reach out to a bunch of people and speak about what's going on in the industry for a long time. And of late, that's been happening more often on this podcast and I'm really happy about that. And this time, it's great to have some people from Xiaomi to talk about their exciting smart TV announcements of late and what's coming in the future. So first, we have Ishwar Neelakantan, who's the category lead for TV at Xiaomi. Hi, Ishwar.
Hi, Pranay. Thank you so much for having us here. Really excited to be on the podcast.
Yes, same here. Even I'm excited to have you here. And we also have one more person from Xiaomi, which is Sudeep Sahu, who's the product manager for Xiaomi India. Now, hi, Sudeep. Welcome to Orbital.
Thank you for having us. We are very glad that we finally got to do this podcast with you guys.
Yeah, same here. So internally also we have one person here. So this is a four-person podcast this time. Ali Padiwala, who's our in-house audio and TV expert, is here with us.
Namaskar, Pranay. I am happy to be back.
Namaskar, Ali. Very happy to have you once more. Now, I don't know if Ishwar and Sudeep, you guys know this, but Ali has been the one who's been on the maximum number of podcasts since the lockdown began. I think he had a record of like 6 in a row first, and then I think we took a bit of a break. So far, he's done about like 10 to 15 podcasts since the lockdown began. So a lot has been happening in this audio and TV space, which is why he's been here with us quite often. And once more, you know, always happy to have Ali and now you guys on this podcast. So I think we can maybe begin by talking about like what's been going on in the TV space from Xiaomi recently. So we do know that obviously, you know, the TV space, in the smart TV space, a lot of things are changing really fast. And I think ever since Xiaomi has come around to this one, we've seen that acceleration happening where like a bunch of, you know, companies are now competing really strongly. The budget segment is one where Xiaomi is doing really well. And even in the slightly higher price segment, it appears that Xiaomi has been doing well. So how has your journey been in the TV space? And once we hear from you, I would also like to go a little bit back, you know, and talk about how this began. But first, let's hear what's happening recently.
So I'll take that question. So I'll talk about what is happening right now. So it has been a interesting 30 to 40 days for us ever since we came out of the lockdown. So far we've seen a lot of pent up demand that's been kind of coming back. So that's been something that we've been keenly observing and also working really hard to ensure that our supplies are also scaling. So that's something that is going on right now. Recently, we also launched a new category, which was the streaming stick. So which was the Mi Box that we launched, and that's got a very good response. So those are the two things that are happening right now. Now to talk a bit more about the history of TVs for Xiaomi. So we launched this category little over 2 years ago in February of 2018. We kind of keep joking internally. It was launched on the Valentine's Day. So it was our gift to the love that the Mi fans showed to us. So it was like we were reciprocating it. And that was also one of the reasons. It also took a little bit of time because people were asking it for a long time. But we kind of chose an opportune time of Valentine's Day for the launch. So in those 2 years, I think we have had a great amount of success in this whole space. So when we started with a single model, then we got two more models, then we got into the Android TV segment. Last year we beefed up the whole portfolio with the entire range of 4K series. Now we believe that we have a complete offering starting from 32 all the way up to 65. And this, along with a lot of other interventions that we have done in online and offline, has helped us to become the number one smart TV brand. So we're also very happy to share that IDC has come out with the latest smart home tracker for Q1 of 2020. And as per that tracker, we continue to be the number one smart TV brand. They started coming out with this report from Q2 of 2018. So it's the 8th edition that they've come out with. And we are very happy to share that throughout these 8 editions, we've remained at the top of the table. So that's a very exciting and thrilling news that we wanted to share with you.
Yeah, I mean, that's good to hear, obviously. And, you know, because like from our perspective, like as people who cover this space, it's been good to see so many smart TVs coming in and innovation happening at a price point where people are interested in these TVs, as opposed to them being like a dream purchase, which we'll get when we retire or something like that. But now, obviously, you know, things have changed a lot. And Ali and I have been talking a lot about this. But, you know, one of the things you mentioned was very interesting to me. You said that you have a complete offering from, you know, 32-inch to 65-inch. So, Ali, I believe you wanted to check something about, like, the QLED and OLED, you know, technologies and Xiaomi's presence there, right?
That's right. So the question I actually had was something that I have discussed with you guys before on a bunch of calls as well. Now, Xiaomi has kind of cracked the budget segment. It's cracked even up to the 55 and 65 inch, but the affordable big screen 4K segment. What's next? I mean, when is Xiaomi going luxury? When can we see QLED or OLED TVs with Dolby Vision and that kind of stuff from Xiaomi?
Thanks, Ali, for that question. Pranay, just a comment. Definitely, yeah, you don't have to wait till your retirement to get a Mi TV. So that's something that we've always focused on. To your question, Ali, you would have seen recently that Xiaomi is also actively entering in the premium space in other categories. For example, Mi 10 is a classic example. Without divulging more, all I can say is there is something that is happening in the similar space for the TVs as well. You will kind of get to hear that soon.
Okay, that's like, you know, something that makes podcast listeners in particular very, very curious to know what exactly is happening. I do understand that you can't say something, but hopefully, you know, in the near future, we'll hear more about what's happening in the premium space.
We'll be excited to come back on another episode and share more details about that.
Yeah, all right. Okay, so now just to like take a step back. Now, I have been in this company with Gadgets360 for, I think, about 6 years now. So when I joined, it was in 2014. At that time, I think Xiaomi had just come to India. Like right after I joined, I think Xiaomi launched the first smartphone. And I think from the late, like end of 2014 to like early 2015, sometime around that time, we had first heard that, okay, Xiaomi is going to get into the TV space in India. And I think it took a bit of time for the first TV to come in, because even I had personally, like when I had interviewed Manu a couple of times, at that time he had also mentioned that TV is a space we are looking at and we are going to bring our TV. But ultimately it took a bit of time to get to India. Obviously things have worked out now, so I suppose maybe you guys are a little open to talking about what went like at that time. Why were there so many delays and how did it take so much time, and what were the struggles that you guys faced to get those TVs to India?
I think like you said, since the beginning, the day we launched our smartphones, the Mi 3 in India, there has always been that curiosity, when is a smart TV launching? In fact, after every product launch, we have these Mi Fan meetups, either at the launch event or at a place later on in the week. Every single fan meet, the first question was, when are you getting the TVs? I think the reason we took time was we wanted to bring and build the right product. For example, we just didn't bring, you know, if you see the Mi TV, right? We just didn't bring a TV that was existing in its state in our home home country in the Chinese market. We wanted to customize it. So the customization was both on the hardware level and the software level. So I'll briefly touch down on the software level. Now, the first thing that we wanted to build was Patchwell, right? But when we looked at the market from a content perspective, you know, this is again from a TV side, right? There were not enough content available, say, in 2015. I think with the influx of the, you know, the 4G and the data being so affordable, a lot of people started watching more and more streaming content and they started paying for these. I think that plus we wanted to also customize and work with all of these content partners deeply. It was not about just putting an app out there, right? That would have been easier. But we wanted to, and in fact, it took time to explain each partner what Patchwell was and how it works, what content API and why we are building all of. So all of that reason took some time to build the right product.
So Sudeep, I remember, I think I'm not like my memory is a bit foggy right now. I'm growing old, but I do remember like seeing you on stage in one of the events for Xiaomi, and I do remember you talking about Patchwall on stage.
Yes, I did present the Mi TV 4, the world's thinnest LED TV that we launched first in back in February 14, 2018. Yeah.
Okay, so good to know that, you know, I've not completely gone mad yet. You know, always nice to have that. Okay, my memory is still intact. But anyway, without digressing further, so at that time, it did seem like this may be an unnecessary thing, like on top of Android TV. But then later, I guess we've seen some people telling us that, you know, there is quite a bit of value to what Patchwall adds. So it's like since launch day, what's the feedback that you've heard about Patchwall in general? And the second question is relating to Mi Box also. Now, I think Ali was the one who reviewed the Mi Box, and one of the things he told me was that, you know, it's got stock Android TV and no Patchwall customization. So what was the thinking behind bringing Patchwall to that smart TV but not to the Mi Box? That's the second part of the question.
I'll take the second part of the question first, right? So when we designed Patchwall, I think it'll answer a part of the first one as well. So when we designed Patchwall, so Patchwall is based on three basic pillars of philosophies, right? So one of the most important one is content first. If you look at 2 years ago and even now, most of the competition smart TVs, they have almost like a smartphone experience on a TV, right? So in smartphones, all of us do a multitudes of tasks, right? So we call people, message people, order food, play games, so many different things. And the window to that particular experience is through an app, right? So most of the smartphone experience is an app-first experience. But we believe that in a TV, 80 to 90% of what you're going to do is going to watch something. It could be a different genre or different types of content, but end of the day, it's going to be some video that you're going to be watching. So we decided that we should have a content-first experience, which meant in the initial days, it was like a big task in itself to convince the content partners about this, because nobody is even known about this outside of China. So I remember, so Sudeep and Anisha used to carry the TVs to our content partner meetings and show them exactly how it would look, because they had no idea in terms of how, let's say, a content first experience will look, right? But we felt it was important because as the content landscape evolves, so we launched with about 5 partners. Now there are over 23 partners on Patchwall. And this is my belief, right? Again, 2 years down the line, I believe there will be maybe 50 or 100 partners. Again, not everyone will be as big as your biggies, but then they will still be, let's say, targeting to a very significant amount of population. Because, I mean, this is something that I keep saying. If you look at India as a country, it is almost equal to Europe as a continent. Every state is as large as a country like a Spain or an Italy with the same kind of population and a completely different language. So the breadth of content that will be generated in the next 1 to 2 years, I don't think it will be limited to only, let's say, these 20 partners. There will be more and more partners who would be coming, and we barely scratched the surface. Now, with this kind of, let's say, a content landscape, for an individual consumer, it becomes very difficult to know where what is available. And that's what Patchwall is trying to solve. So that's the first part. I don't know if it answered that. The second question in terms of why we chose not to have Patchwall on Mi Box was behind this thinking that a consumer who's coming to buy a Mi Box, right, is a seasoned consumer of OTT consumption. So this consumer has been consuming Netflix, Prime Video for the last 1 or 2 years. So which means that to guiding that consumer or let's say handholding of that consumer is not as important as a Mi TV consumer who's actually the first time smart TV consumer and first time even exposed to any of these content. So we believe that the need for handholding is much higher in the Mi TV compared to a Mi Box, and that's why we chose not to have Patchwall on that.
Yes, that's right. So Ishwar, coming to your question on languages and how regional content kind of lines up with Patchwall, what kind of spread do we have in terms of regional content, and how widespread would it be in terms of, you know, covering all the languages and all the content partners from across the country?
So currently we have content available across 16 plus languages from 23 plus content partners on Patchwall. Again, just to clarify, Patchwall is a platform, right? So we don't kind of make content or procure content. So we kind of, as a platform to distribute content, We are limited by the kind of languages the content partner provides. So right now we have 16 plus languages. We until about yesterday, we had this specific tab called the regional tab. And that was one of the most visited tab because we had a significant amount of consumer base in South as well as in the East, where you had very strong regional languages. Yesterday, we pushed out a feature called the Language Universe. Basically, what does Language Universe does is in the movies and the TV shows, we have created simple small icons. And when you click on that icon, basically these are language filters. And when you click on them, you land on a particular page which shows, let's say, if you click on Telugu as a button, then you will click on a page where all the trending Telugu movies from across these 20 plus partners, wherever is available, will be showcased.
Mm.
So this is something that we've rolled out yesterday, basically to simplify the whole experience. Now the consumer need not press three buttons to reach the regional channel, but we've integrated the whole Language Universe option inside the movies and TV show, which are the most consumed channel.
Yeah, so that actually reminds me about a couple of quick questions I had on usage patterns. So one is that on your TV, like on Mi TVs usually, what do you see people preferring more? Do they like stream more or use the smart TV features more, or are they more into watching cable TV and other normal TV stuff? And the second part of the same question is that, according to you, what's the most important feature for of Mi TVs for India and Indians in general?
From our internal data, what we have seen is the average consumption of content every single day on a TV is about 4 hours. And in that, the split would be approximately 1 hour of streaming and approximately 3 hours of content that is from, say, set-top box. Now, this is predominantly because most of the people are still, they still watch like a set-top box content. However, the streaming content is more or less kind of restricted by the data. Now I'll explain a little bit what that means. Most of these people actually do not have like a Wi-Fi broadband at home. So their consumption of, or rather habit is kind of restricted right now by data. And that's why we actually worked with Google to launch this feature called Google's Data Saver last year on our TVs. And we've also rolled it out on our Mi boxes, which is the first streaming box to get this feature. So that kind of enabled people to start watching more hours with the same content. Yeah. So obviously the pattern has been changing. Again, this is something that we had seen, this data we had seen some time back. Yeah. But more and more people are obviously getting into the streaming habit. This is again with more and more content coming. Almost every, again, we have been adding more and more content partners on our platform, and we have seen this from the universe that more and more people are getting their, say, TV app ready. Maybe they had an app, but they never had it on the TV. They had it on the phone. So they realize that there is enough and more consumer base who would want to watch the content on their biggest screen available, which is your smart TV.
You know, since you said, I think that a lot of people still watch set-top box content on their TVs. And that probably means that, even with a smart TV, they are engaged in that. So the audience for the people who have smart TVs, the owners of smart TVs, they're not as many as compared to those who don't have smart TVs. So I suppose the Mi Box is good to bridge that gap. But I've been wondering, like, what was your thinking behind launching it right now as opposed to along with the Mi TV itself?
One of the biggest, let's say, fear that we had was what if people kind of buy the Mi Box and don't buy, let's say, a smart TV, right? We've met a lot of consumers. So what we found out in all these consumer emotions were, unlike a smartphone, consumers are willing to use their TVs for over 5 to 7 years, right? So they're not going to replace the TV, even though there could be some upgrade. Unlike a smartphone, that's not the case, because if there is like a very good upgrade, people kind of change their phones even in 9 months. That's not the case for TVs. What does this mean is, in the last 4 years, if you look at the smart TV penetration, 2 years ago, the smart TV penetration was about 20 to 22%. That's when we entered the market. And right now it is about 50 to 54%. Mm. This growth of 30% has largely been driven by Xiaomi. But if you look at all the non-smart TVs that have been sold in the same 2 years, and also add another 2 years, because the consumers who bought TV in the last 4 years are unlikely to change their TV for the next 2 to 3 years. That number was like adding up to a big number of 34 million users. So just to kind of reiterate, there are 34 million or 3.4 crore people or households who have bought a non-smart TV in the last 4 years. Mm. And we were fairly confident that these consumers are not going to upgrade to a smart TV, irrespective of, let's say, how good that particular offer is. And that is one of the main reasons why we wanted to launch Mi Box, because in the last 6 months, and now especially during the lockdown period, we saw a lot of increase in consumption in OTT. Secondly, we also believe that there would be some kind of a hesitance for people to kind of go into cinema halls and malls for the next few months until things stabilize. And as a fallout of that, we're already seeing a lot of movies launching directly on the OTT platform. And if a consumer needs to consume that particular OTT content, the only option for him is to either buy a smart TV or buy, let's say, another streaming device, right? This market of our streaming stick was largely a monopoly without any competition. Mm. And we believe that we could do much better than, let's say, what the incumbent was doing. And that was the thought behind that. And we've been working on this for the last few, I would say, few quarters. And then we thought this was an opportune moment, and we kind of launched. We wanted to launch it early in this year, but because of the unfortunate lockdown that happened, we had to delay it. But right now we've got an overwhelming response. We are currently out of stock, so we're waiting for the next shipment to come in so that we can start selling the Mi Box again.
Mm-hmm. So speaking about the dumb TV, now you spoke a little bit about how there's still a big segment of India that is interested in buying a dumb TV and not a smart TV for their own reasons. Now, is that something that Xiaomi would explore, or are you absolutely committed to the idea of the smart TV?
So from Xiaomi's standpoint, I don't think we will ever get into a non-smart TV segment because we don't believe that that's the future, right? It's almost like 4 years ago, I mean, when Xiaomi was a pioneer in terms of launching 4G phones, when the whole industry was launching 3G plus 4G phones. Similarly, we believe that maybe in one or two quarters, I told that in Q1 of 2020, 54% of the TVs that were sold were smart. This number was 20% two years ago. And I believe in the next one or two quarters, this number will be north of 80%. And maybe by mid of next year, I believe it will also go towards 100%, because the difference in terms of, let's say, value that the consumer gets between a smart and non-smart is shrunk to a point where it does not even make any sense for a consumer to buy a non-smart TV.
Okay, and that makes a lot of sense, honestly. But then again, when we look at the competition, now there's a lot of competing products. I know Vue still does a few dumb TVs, Sony and Samsung, not exactly dumb TVs, but you know, semi-smart TVs. They're not running Android TV. They might be running some kind of proprietary operating system or something of the sort. So in that sense, and also if we consider that there's a lot of competition coming in, where does Xiaomi see itself with all of this competition coming in? Like, for example, we have Realme who has just entered the market. We have OnePlus that is already under 20,000 rupees at this point. So how does Xiaomi plan to approach the smart TV and the TV in, segment in general in the face of all of this competition?
Okay, this answer from me might sound very cliched, but that's the fact, right? So at Xiaomi, 99% of the decisions that we take with respect to product pricing keeps the customer at the center. What do I mean by that is, like, we do observe competition, but we never get distracted by what they do. Because if we were observing competition and following, we would have never created something like Patchwall, right? There is nothing in India which is comparable to what we've done on Patchwall. And we believe, or at least I believe, right? Might sound a little pompous, but still I will say that next 1.5 years, it is going to be difficult for anybody to kind of put something like what we've done for Patchwall.
So one of the things I've noticed is that these days the trend in smart TV remotes particularly is going more and more towards like having fewer normal buttons and a few more hotkeys in there. So whether it's a service such as Netflix, Amazon Prime Video or whatever else. So how are these decisions made of adding these hotkeys? Is it like through a partnership or is it mostly through demand?
First things first, I think our remote, when we first came up with, again, I'm going back to February 2018, Very minimalistic remote. And I think the idea for at least our Mi remote was very simple. When you hold a remote and you're browsing content, again, our patch wall was content first, right? So there's a bunch of tiles on the TV. You are looking, your eye is on the screen rather than fishing for buttons on the remote. So that is one of the key reason of very, very minimalistic. In fact, it was like, 11 buttons, right? This the D-pad and basic back home and menu, which has turned into like Mi Home and Android Home now. So that was a sort of like design philosophy. You know, you don't look at the remote. Rather, you get used to the D-pad with the 5-directional key. And you're just focusing on what you're watching and browsing on the TV. Having said that, the hotkeys is something obviously a function of what is popular. And obviously, it's mutually agreed between two parties, right? You know, so we have Netflix and Prime Video. So we have decided both that this is good for consumers to, you know, again, this is quick access. But then you don't keep just adding more and more. So we decided just to keep stick with these two, which is very, very popular.
Yeah, I think Ali, you did mention the mute button missing, right, in your review of the Mi Box.
No, I didn't mention it missing, but I guess it's the same remote that I'd actually mentioned on the Mi TV, Mi TV 4X review. The same.
We get that.
That's the thing. I mean, considering you're using the Mi Box with your TV, I mean, you obviously have the option to hit mute on your TV's remote if at any point you want to. Like I personally always have two remotes in my hand when I'm like I have whatever streaming box as well as the TV's remote in my hand at any given point. So I have that ability, which is why I didn't think it was as big a deal on the Mi Box of 4K. But still on the TVs, I still think that the mute button is it's something. I mean, like Sudeep said, it takes 1.3 seconds and I've seen that it does work for sure. But it would be something nice to have to just be able to quickly mute it.
Yeah. And I mean, while we are on that subject, you know, I also wanted to just bring up the one thing that Ali has been complaining about in his Mi TV reviews. Ali, you want to talk about that standby mode?
Yes, that is actually something. That is, so the TV, I mean, like it boots up every single time. It takes 45 seconds to do it. At what point can we expect a standby mode on the Mi TV range?
First thing, I really appreciate that you have taken the time to calculate. It takes about 45 seconds. That's pretty accurate to our lab results. The reason is it's an Android system. It takes about that, about 40 to 45 seconds to boot up, depending again on which variant of TV you're looking from Xiaomi. Very happy to share that we are actually working on a quick boot or an instant on. We have been actually testing that. It's in a beta phase. In fact, we run a test, a beta program with our Mi fans across all our TVs in various sizes. It's called the Early Access Program. So this feature is actually being tested and we have got already good feedback. So expect soon that this feature to be rolled out.
Okay, yeah. So I think now the next thing I wanted to check was about the sale of Mi TVs. So one thing that we constantly keep hearing is that, you know, the 32-inch variant is still quite popular. But I just wanted to do a fact check with you guys. Most customers, are they still getting the 32-inch variant because it's the most affordable one? Or are they are you seeing an increasing trend of people preferring bigger screens and going up the chain?
Sure. So if you look at the overall market for TVs, so 32 and below, basically 24 and 32 inch contribute to almost 50-55% of the market. So which means that, I mean, your 32 will continue to be the biggest size, right? In terms of volume, because that market is so big. Having said that, what we've seen is with respect to our dominant position, we have even a significant dominant position from a market share standpoint in the 4K segment. So in September 2019, we launched three 4K TVs, 43, 50, and 55, along with the 65. And all of these TVs have been very, very dominant in all their respective segments. With respect to absolute units, it will definitely be lower than 32. But in terms of market share in those segments, they have significantly higher market share compared to what we have on the 32.
Okay, so which is the best-selling Xiaomi TV in India right now?
In terms of absolute units, it would be the 32. In terms of share, it is the 43 4X, which is the 43 4K that we have. I mean, it's selling so well that after 6 to 8 months since launch, we've still been kind of not been able to meet the demand. It comes in stock and then disappears in just like half a day or so. So we're still struggling to kind of make enough of those TVs.
Yeah, I mean, that's again some feedback that we've heard from a lot of people, that, you know, we want to buy this TV, but it's not easily available. So that's, I guess, you know, if it's popular, then there's only so much that can be done, especially in the current situation when supplies and all are a little off. Anyway, Ali, you were saying something.
Yeah, I was saying that, I mean, the Mi TV 4X is, at least for the 43-inch variant, is, in my opinion, a very, very well-priced TV. I mean, at just about 25,000-26,000 rupees, you're getting 4K, you're getting HDR, all of that stuff. Now, there are the 43-inch full HD televisions, which are priced at around 21,000-22,000, if I'm not wrong. So, do you see people actively choosing to pay just that little 3,000 or 4,000 rupee price increase and get that much better of a TV? In which case, is there still a market for the 43-inch full HD TV?
So, I mean, this is what at least I've noticed, right? So, in let's say in phones as well as TVs. A lot of consumers have a specific budget, and in most of the cases, we've seen that the consumers are willing to, I mean, there are definitely both the cases where consumers are willing to stretch the budget, and there are consumers who are not willing to stretch the budget because they don't see an inherent benefit of, let's say, a 4K TV. Classic example is, again, two sets of consumers I've kind of seen on our Mi stores and Mi homes is like a set of consumer, maybe 40, 45 years old, their main consumption is going to be cable TV channels, HD channels. They are okay with kind of choosing a FHD. They're not very keen about 4K. Even when we explain that, okay, this is future-proof, they are not kind of, let's say, very keen, because a lot of their consumption is going to be maybe YouTube or Hotstar. And even in Hotstar, it's going to be catch-up TV, which they've kind of missed on the linear. On the other end of the spectrum, there is this customer who has, let's say, has a budget of, let's say, 20,000. But then this consumer is looking at future-proofing the decision, because this consumer is, again, a very young consumer, aware of Netflix, Prime Video, aware that, okay, 4K. Maybe he or she does not have a Netflix account right now, but is aspiring to get that account maybe in 1 or 2 years after he or she gets the first job. So those kind of consumers are willing to kind of move up the ladder. So what we've kind of also enabled in the 4K segment is we've kind of gotten attractive EMI schemes as well to kind of make consumers take that decision. I mean, it is in their interest as well that they kind of choose 4K, because it's something that's going to be future proof. Having said that, there is still a significant number of consumers who have a specific budget who are not willing to kind of go beyond. For those consumers, we have the 43 FHD as well.
Okay, so just a couple of more questions I wanted to check with you guys before we wrap this episode. So one of this is, what is the rate of return of Xiaomi TVs as of now, if you can share that number?
So while I'll not be able to share any specific number, what we can share with absolute confidence is we have this particular measure for all our products across categories called the field failure rate. Basically, it is a metric of how many, it is not just return, even let's say if there is a software issue or a hardware issue, it might necessarily not be a return, but it actually could lead to a repair, right? So we are very, very diligent in capturing each and every instance of this, and we measure this. And we also have, let's say, a lot of third-party vendors who kind of also work with other vendors, and we also have a third-party agency who kind of qualify in terms of figure out what is the FFR for competition. What we've seen, again, what is this is something that is also reflective if you go to Flipkart or Amazon and check the rating for our TVs versus competition. One thing that we can say with confidence is Mi TVs have one of the lowest FFRs amongst other TVs in the market. And that's also because Xiaomi's philosophy, right? Again, at a company level, one of the key pillars of Xiaomi's philosophy is great quality. The other two being the latest technology and greatest honest pricing. So great quality is something that's very important. We have a specific quality team which ensures that every product, every category we launch goes through a thorough early user testing. after the testing, like Sudeep mentioned, we also have an early access program where we have close to 100 to 150 Mi fans to whom we actually ship this feature. For example, I spoke about the kits mode. This kits mode is actually pushed as a early build to all these early access users. And they kind of test it and tell us if there is any bug. And post that, we kind of push it. So there are multiple levels of checks that we do. And we are very, very particular about quality. And that's one of the reasons why we have one of the lowest FFRs in the industry.
Okay. And the last thing I wanted to check with you guys is what's coming in the future. Now, I know you guys have spoken about something happening in the premium space. So I'm just going to assume that Xiaomi something is launching in the premium space in the TVs. But what about other features? So one is patch wall, for example. What can we see next over there? Then we also have soundbar hasn't been updated in a while. So any audio products coming in? And what about the way forward for Mi Box? Are you looking at an annual upgrade cycle or something faster than that or slower?
Okay, so multiple questions. I'll try to answer most of them, if not all of them.
Yeah.
What is coming for Mi TV? There's a lot of new exciting stuff awaiting for H2. I think I can only share so much. Mm-hmm. Now, coming to Mi Box, I think right now we've seen an excellent response. Mm-hmm. We are now working, focused completely on solving for the supply situation. So once the supply situation stabilizes, we will figure out in terms of how is the demand and then basically take consumer feedback and figure out in terms of what can be added to the portfolio. So right now, we are only focused on building supplies for Mi Box.
Hmm.
The other question was around...
Okay. Patch wall. What's coming in
patch wall? So on patch wall, so we spoke about the language universe that just launched yesterday. There are two new features that we are also working on. So this was, again, something that we tested with one of Amazon Prime's originals, which was the 4 More Shots. So before the launch of 4 More Shots, what we did was we reached out to all the top cast of that show and we asked them what is their favorite content on Prime Video. We created a small bubble on patch wall. Let's say, for example, Milind Soman was one of the cast. So we had this Milind Soman list. And when you click on this list, it will show all the list or list of videos / TV shows that Milind Soman watches on Prime Video.
What we are
planning to do is we are planning to roll this out to a larger group of celebrities. So we are planning to reach out to, we are calling this a celebrity list, where we will reach out to celebrities and then get them to let us know what are the favorite content. It's almost like a curated list of content that we will showcase. Apart from that, on patch wall, we are also planning to kind of get much more closer integration with respect to more categories. Right now, we have covered our bases with respect to most of the basic content. All are the leading content partners are there. But we still believe there is more opportunity in the space of fitness, cooking, religious content, so on and so forth. So those are some of the niche areas that we are kind of working towards. And thirdly, we are also looking at news as a category and see how we can get more news partners. Right now, we have about 7 free news channels that you can watch on patch wall. We are planning to see how we can add more partners to that. So these are some of the upcoming features on the patch wall side.
Okay. I think soundbar and audio is probably the only one pending.
So on soundbar, so right now we are not looking at any refresh at the moment. So I mean, that's where it is.
Okay, no problem. All right, so I think we are ready to wrap this episode. So in case our audience wants to follow you guys, check out more of what you're doing on a day-to-day basis, how can they do that? Twitter or any other place?
Yeah, we are active on Twitter. My handle on Twitter is Eshwar, Eshwar _NC. So that's my handle on Twitter.
And you can find me and check out what I talk about day to day at Laurel Sudeep on Twitter. That's LaurelSudeep.
Are you a fan of Laurel and Hardy, or does that come from somewhere else, the handle?
That is exactly correct. I used to be a so as to get these comics. Lauren and Hardy used to love it. And I was looking for a unique user ID on the internet. So yeah, Laura Sudeep is kind of my internet ID and it's like everywhere.
Okay then, all right. So Ali, I believe you are at alias Pardius, if I'm not mistaken, so on Twitter.
That's right. I tried to be Roman at some point, but then I gave up.
Okay then. And I am at PRAWNAY in case anyone wants to follow me and remind themselves of prawns and whatever, etc. Anyway, so that was a fun chat, guys. Thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate that you guys took out the time in this busy lockdown schedule that you have. It was great to have you here.
It was great. I mean, I think I've been meaning to do podcasts for a long time, and thank you so much for having this session set up for us, and we were very glad to share a lot of information with you guys.
Yeah, so let's do this once more in maybe 2 months or so after you have launched the something that was promised earlier.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to that. And hopefully you will also password protect that section we spoke about.
Yeah, definitely. Don't worry about that. Okay then. So with that, let's wrap this episode of Orbital. We'll be back with one more episode next week. And in the meantime, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. If you're listening to this podcast on any podcast app, such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or whichever other app it is, subscribe to the show, rate it, review it. These things, they help us a lot. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. So we'll be back next week. Thanks a lot for joining us.